you can edit all this bullshit out. Are we ready to go, boys and girls?
Ready.
Yeah.
Hi, y'all. Y'all listen to the $50 Bill podcast live from London, UK. Yeehaw!
Wait, you should turn our microphones on if we're going to yeehaw.
Do you want me to do it again?
No. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Jeb. Turn the volume on the background music.
Let's do it again.
No, let's not.
It sounds shit.
Nightmare's chaos.
It is nightmare's chaos. Your levels are really off. We've got to do it again, please.
Oh, fuck.
Hi, y'all listening to the $50 Bill podcast live from the UK, London style. Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! That one wasn't nearly as interesting as the first time.
Edit.
All right, no. We're going to go this time. I guess I should say something. Hi, everybody. This is Jeb. Welcome back to the show. I don't know what show number this is, actually, because I don't have my notes in front of me. But turn the background music down just a bit, please. But I'm coming to you from London. For those of you that know that, I came over to do... sort of a club night with Tim, who hosts Radio Clash. We had that go on last night in Soho, and it was wonderful. And Tim is here with me, and also so is Scott from the Night Nurse podcast. We're actually recording this in the bunker.
The secret bunker in London town.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Oh, you're finally going to say something. Aren't you going to do your American accent?
Hi, y'all. This is $50 note.
$50
note. $50 note, pound note, dollar bill.
This here is $50 bill. I've never seen one of these before because my mama never could afford to get me one.
So we're actually recording three shows back to back to back. We're going to do a Radio Clash, and we're also going to do a Night Nurse. So we're sort of splitting up what we're going to talk about. And on my show, we thought we would talk a bit about my London experiences, because I've been keenly aware of sort of being the foreigner, excuse me, and almost feeling apologetic about being American.
Tourist. And so you should.
Tourist.
I feel apologies all day, every day.
But I do have to say that everybody that I've met has been so incredibly generous and friendly and wonderful. And this is certainly not my last time coming in. And this is going to lead us into the first song that we're going to play. This one's a dedication that the three of us are sending out to Steve, who came to Hectic Eclectic last night. And this is how we picture Steve staggering home drunk at the end of a night.
Yes.
Here's the Buskers version of Anarchy in the UK.
Christ, I am an anarchist. Don't know what I want, but I know how to get it. I want to destroy passerby, 'cause I want to be anarchy. No dog's body. Anarchy for the UK. It's coming sometime, maybe. Give a run time, stop a traffic line. Your future dream is a shopping scheme. But I wanna be anarchy in the country. What you want, I use the best, I use the rest, I use the enemy, I use anarchy, 'cause I wanna be anarchy. It's the only way to be. NHS? Is this the EFTSS? Is this the IPA? I thought it was the UK. Or just another country. Another pub up for tenancy. For I wanna be an anarchist. 'Cause I wanna be an anarchist. You know what I mean? 'Cause
all anarchists are pretty, especially Steve.
Oh, Steve's pretty. That I don't think pretty is something he's been called for a very long time.
He's cute.
He's gorgeous. Cute. He's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, I think
and,
so.
I have to say that was Simon Ritchie with his accordion cover of Anarchy in the UK. And I have to say thank you to Steve for giving me a Seditionaries, I think Seditionaries t-shirt, the one with the two
cowboys.
Cowboys. At the dance, and he got that in SF or Bay Area. Apparently, there's a guy that does it in the Bay Area, and so he gave me one, which is brilliant. And he also gave you a.
He did, and I wasn't sure I was going to talk about this because I'm going to have a Coil show coming up at some point, artist specific. Steve gave me a piece of jewelry last night. It's sort of like a long talon or a claw that hooks onto the end of your finger that came from the personal collection of John Balance. And I was just stunned. I'm like, you know, John Balance, Coil has been such a massive influence on me. And to have a memento of this artist who truly touched me just floored me. And even, you know, when I woke up this morning, I was laying there in bed looking at it going, how the hell did I get my hands on this? So, Steve, thank you very much.
And thank you for me. And what I find amazing is he's got two gifts, which he was putting pictures on his blog about from the t-shirts, and I actually thought I really want one of those t-shirts, and he read my mind.
And Steve, I'd like to say fuck you for not giving me a present. I think it's absolutely disgusting. All I got was beer, right?
Isn't beer enough?
Yeah, it is enough. It is. I want a fucking blowjob.
Join the queue. Right. I think he was talking to John. I think John was more his style.
Yeah,
he did say John was cute.
which is
sweet.
Yeah, no, it's quite funny actually. When I saw him talking to John, I was like, here we go.
Same here. Same here. I was John's going to have.
Well, maybe you, me, Tim, yourself, and me. Well, yourself and Steve, I can take you guys pulling one day. There's a really nice OAP home down the road from me.
Oi. We don't all like chicken.
I don't like fucking chickens either. But I don't like a bird chicken.
Oh, can I just say how weird it is? All right, you were the first person to ask me today if I wanted to go eat at KFC to see how it was like in the States. I'm like, no, I don't want fucking Kentucky Fried Chicken. But, all right, so my trip actually started out in Manchester, and I was getting so cracked up by all these chicken places that are like trying to play on KFC, and they would all say somewhere on the sign that Southern Fried Chicken or whatever. There was a Kansas Fried Chicken.
Yeah,
like,
that's so
Kansas
fucked
is
up.
Not even anywhere close.
Do they
to
have
Kentucky.
Any chickens in Kansas?
They have lots of like boredom in Kansas. The
lots of the, flying houses.
Yeah, really.
Witches.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly. No, the
witches.
One that. The one that cracked that's me up London. The most was McTucky's.
McTucky's.
That's just disgusting, isn't it? That just shows you how pikey Manchester truly is.
No, but I loved Manchester. I did lots of, you know, if you've listened to the show, you know how much Manchester music has influenced me. And I mean, the whole point of this trip is that Tim and I are going to see New Order tomorrow night at Wembley. But
Yay. It
was like, you know, well, the Hacienda is no longer there. It's now like Tower Flats, called the Hacienda.
That really annoyed me. Me and Kirk, when we were in Manchester, we made a pilgrimage to the Hacienda. And it'd just been knocked down. And we were like, my God, how can you knock down one of the biggest cultural
actually,
icons of a
I
city?
I think it was Paul. I stayed with two fellows in Manchester, Paul and Kev, and I think it was Paul who was telling me that they weren't supposed to demolish the whole building. They were supposed to leave part of it
supposed
there.
Supposed to refurbish it, yeah.
And they accidentally knocked down the part that was supposed to stay, and then they had to go ahead and knock down the rest were at it.
Accidentally on purpose.
Accidentally on purpose. So anyway, and they did some other things.
Maybe it was someone who had a grudge to get in one night. They're like, fuck this place, we're doing it.
Got probably half the city.
Probably beaten up by the bouncers or wouldn't sell them drugs or something.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So then my friends Martin and Lawrence picked me up on Sunday and brought me down to London. That was an all-day trip. Because we stopped in Macclesfield, and I went to the cemetery where there's the sort of memorial stone for Ian Curtis. Got some photos made there, and God, I did all kinds of weird touristy shit.
Well, in Macclesfield, there's nothing to do in Macclesfield.
No, well, we had lunch in Macclesfield.
Yeah, there's nothing to do in Macclesfield apart from Ian Curtis's grave.
There's like sheep on hillsides and services and
happy farmers.
Happy farmers.
I've never been there.
Is that like Happy Mondays? So,
where men are men and sheep and sheep are scared.
What'd you say? They just retired.
They just retired. Happy again. Mondays. They're happy farmers now.
Was the farm still going?
They have raves on the farm in Macclesfield. You gotta find out through a friend of a friend of a friend.
So, what would Bez be shaking instead of maracas?
This cock, probably. Oh, the money he doesn't have. He's really tried. You don't understand. He's really tried to regain a career for himself for nothing. He went on to the Celebrity Big Brother. He won it.
He's doing live stuff now.
Is he doing?
What is he doing? I was at the Jam JAMM place in Brixton, and they had a poster for Bez. I'm thinking, what does he do? Dance
with some maracas or a tambourine.
Because when I saw
what the fuck is that?
Probably the last
twisting my melon, man. What the fuck?
The last time I saw New Order, I think it was the second to last time I saw New Order, was Ali Pally at the Millennium gig.
Right.
And their special guest was Bez, and he came on and danced, and you know the last two tracks, and it's like everyone's like yay, but it was a bit like what's he gonna do? See,
I'm gonna throw something at that motherfucker.
That's
no, what?
Stupid.
That is the dumbest thing. He's really tried to regain a career, so it's quite amusing.
Well, he's just got a massive tax bill, apparently.
Yeah.
He snorted or threw away or whatever. He managed to get rid of all his money, didn't he?
Oh, well done, Bez. Well done. Yeah. You got to London eventually, didn't you?
I did, and we actually, the drive was really nice. It took us all day, but
was it because of the traffic?
It was the traffic, you know, we stopped in Macclesfield and we stopped to eat and would stop to stretch our legs every now and then. And right. I was playing, you know. Backseat DJ on my iPod, which was really fun, just like queuing up music and stuff.
Do you have an iTrip thing, or is it just cable?
No, Martin had some sort of cable running directly into his stereo, so I just like ported right into the headphone jack, and it was nice. So we actually we came past Birmingham, home to Duran Duran, and this next band, which is Tim's choice of a song to play on the podcast.
Yes, it's ELO, Last Train to London, which ironically I played last night after everyone had left for their trains. Because, I mean, actually there was a hard call that stayed till about 3 a.m, which is I really, really appreciate. But there was a kind of set of people that had to leave at 12 or 1, which is fair enough. It's a weekday night. I have to go for work. But that was a classic tune. I had to play it.
It was one of those nights, one of those nights
It's really funny, actually, because when we were down at, he met me from work today, and we were
right, like half, you know, half a block. Somebody told me that you don't call them blocks here, but like well, then what would you say, like, for that span of a distance?
We don't have a term for
okay.
it.
Okay, just a little step away from the American embassy, which was heavily guarded. It was actually right next door to the Canadian embassy.
Yeah. Which wasn't guarded, but had a lot of maple leaves.
It had a lot of people queuing up.
A lot of people trying to get through an immigration in Canada. I don't know how
running out of the country. We want to go to Canada. Blame Canada.
The lowest crime rate in the world, though, doesn't it?
True.
Yeah, we were walking through Mayfair, and it was actually quite funny because it just reminded me of it. I said to Jeb, I went, you know, I finished reading Sharon Osbourne's autobiography recently, and this is the street she grew up on, which was Hay Hill in Mayfair, because when her dad, who was the manager, or I think he was manager of ELO, and for a very, very, very long time.
What, Sharon Osbourne's dad was the manager of ELO?
Yeah.
I didn't know
John
that.
Arden.
Oh my God!
Yeah. So, and the
Birmingham
more money,
mafia.
The more money that they made, well, she wasn't from Birmingham; she was from London.
Yeah.
So, and they're from wherever. Mafia is probably about right. He was like the gangster of music management. But so she lived. She referenced the street, said Hay Hill, and I went, you know, this is where Sharon Osbourne grew up. And Joe was just like, really? Yes, in this very, very posh area.
Very posh area.
So
so she makes out she's all very kind of...
She grew up in Brixton. in her early years. She grew up in Brixton, and I think it was when she got into her teenage years they moved to Hay Hill.
Brixton used to be a nice area. Brixton, this idea of Brixton was a shitey place, and it's never really been that shitey. But the idea of a shitey place is an 80s, 90s thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Brixton was originally a very upper class area in Victorian and Edwardian times.
I wouldn't have known it was upper class. I heard it was never upper class, and it was at one. It was. My mom, who obviously grew up in London, always said that it was a bit of a place for the hippies and the beatniks and the bohemian. And people like that, musicians, poets, artists, all lived in Brixton. So it was always sort of the outcasts of the Main Street society. So I think that's why the government went, well, all these black people are showing up. We'll shove them in with these guys. And then tried to ghettoize the black migrant workers that were coming through from Jamaica and Africa.
When most of the houses were built, because the houses are quite posh.
They're beautiful houses.
And the reason why is because in sort of like the Victorian times, Brixton was a really posh area.
Oh, that's Victorian times. I think from like the 40s and the 50s, it was always a little bit of a rough area.
Yeah.
So not like it was maybe in the last couple of decades at times a no-go zone, really. For me, anyway, I fucking hate the area. But
Try Kilburn. I walked through Kilburn today.
Yeah,
area full of freaks. It's a real freak show.
What were you going to say, Jeb? You were going to interrupt.
Oh, I was going to say that I wish I had more of my library with me, because I would play Brixton by Renegade Soundwave.
Yes, that would be a good track.
Oh, and he was also telling me as we were coming through there that it's like, you know, celebrity spottings and paparazzi and stuff. And I was like, oh, am I going to see Madonna with her brown baby?
No, you're not. No, you're not. Because the funny thing is, though, we walked by Soprini's, I think it's called, and that's, I think, the restaurant that she was in when the baby was being brought in from the fucking country. It's just crazy. She's out to dinner. I'm like, oh, yeah, my brown baby's arriving tomorrow morning.
I wonder if that's how they refer to it. The brown baby. TBB. Madonna and TBB.
The way you make it sound, it sounds like a dish brought out on a platter at the restaurant.
Were you saying that Britney Spears now wants one as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Britney wants a baby. It was in the show last week.
It'll be Kylie next. It will be Kylie. She has to copy everything Madonna does.
No,
I want brown babies too now, Kevin.
Kylie.
I tried me to make a brown baby once, but someone done gone flushed it down the toilet. I don't know why.
More like confused it for Coca-Cola.
And with that, we've been brought right down to the level of the Night Nurse show.
Yeah, already. We've got more of that to come. And talk about brown Brixton babies, my favorite singer.
Oh, fuck.
Here we go. My favorite singer in the whole world.
Go, just press play and back sell it when we come out of the song.
Go.
We'll be right back.
Nancy there with Kept My Mouth Shut. That was a B-side on the Charity CD single, the first release. It was re-released to this country, and then it was successful. The first time it was released was before the album Paranoid and Sunburn came out. That was one of the three original B-sides that were on it. Kept My Mouth Shut was very apt, and I think, like, for me...
You never do.
Yeah.
And I loved the way that you mimed her holding that last note, by the way, just as we were coming out of the song.
Now it gets all revealed.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? That song for me was... the song is obviously about, you know, telling someone how you feel about them and then wishing you had it by reading their body language and knowing that, you know, maybe they don't fancy you as much as you fancy them or whatever else, you know. And at the time when that came out, I was coming out, you know. When that song came out, I was coming out about my sexuality.
You were coming out
of the closet.
Of what?
Of the closet.
Oh.
Being a big old
gay
faggot.
Oh.
Are you gay?
Are you one of those people?
Oh, shit.
I've heard about those.
I know, I'm sorry.
The club was full of those last night. I think that took quite a few people by surprise.
Yes.
It was accidental bear bar.
Including the owner, who was a Venezuelan Catholic, and went, "What's bears?" And we had to try and explain, me and Greg. I have to, on my show, I'll give a shout out to Greg. But Greg was a big rock. He was on the door. Big. And I think several of the bootleg crowd were like, "Oh my God, it's a gay club.
It's full of faggots." Oh, there's just shitloads of fucking faggots.
But
up
see,
in
I
here.
Wasn't looking at it from that way. I was looking at it. I was like, "All right, there's all these straight people here." Like, I thought it was a really good. It was
really
a fun mix.
It was. I mean, describing it as a bear leg or a boot bear party.
So we weren't. I didn't actually want to talk too much about my set because we're going to talk about some of that on Radio Clash, and I know the next couple of podcasts that I do. I did a 90-minute set. And I performed two songs live in there, which apparently went down really well. So
awesome.
If you're curious to hear more of us describing that, then download Radio Clash. But the next couple of podcasts I'm going to do is I'm going to break my set into two halves, and I'll record those and put those online. So musically, they're sort of a like a best of 50-pound note to this point, along with a couple of cuts that I've pulled for the next Kiss the Future Volume 4,
yeah.
And then a couple of live things. And so where I've been staying in London, I'm going to be a bit more centrally located for the rest of the trip, but I mean, staying down in Catford, which is like
Southeast London.
Like, everybody acts like it's the sticks, but it really hasn't. No, it hasn't seemed at all like it's been that bad getting
just
back and forth.
It doesn't have a tube, that's all.
There's just no tube.
It doesn't.
That's right, these fucking stuck-up puffs. Oh, there's no tube line. I don't know why you live down there.
It was so... by the time we left the club last night, it was so late. You know, there's no more... The only service to get there was the night bus.
Night bus.
And so Tim is... I mean, Scott, rather, is going to Bromley.
Yeah.
Which is right
which
there.
I never tell anyone.
Scott lives in Bromley,
thank you,
everyone.
Thank you. Please stalk me. Please find
his
me.
Address is and his phone number.
So anyway, we had to take the night bus back, which was a complete experience. It was a lot of fun. It was an experience. I'll let Scott talk about
it. Oh,
that.
Yeah. The night bus was great. You know, we got on the night bus, and there was no seats. Everyone was sort of sitting up in the front. I never go sit upstairs at the back because usually that's where the bad people sit.
They smoke crack.
We were the bad people.
I thought it was so funny. Like, these really hard-looking guys were getting on the bus, and they're like, "I don't know who they are. We're not sitting back there."
Well, you might want to tell people what I was wearing.
You were wearing overalls, a cowboy hat, and a gold tie with a white shirt.
See, Tim had billed me as the quote-unquote Kentucky podcast king, and so I'm like, all right, if they want this redneck image, I'm going to give it to them. So I had on work boots and overalls and you know, a straw hat, but I was also wearing like a coat and tie. But people were looking at me like, what the hell?
And Jeb got his hoedown on. All right, that's all I got to say.
I've got a very funny picture of him. I think when you were wearing your suit DJing, and it was this really weird disjunct of, like, you know, club. Suit. It's a DJ. It's like, what's going on? And
it was funny. It was funny.
That was great.
And then when he thanked everybody, he said, "Oh, thank y'all very much. God bless you all."
I did not do that.
Don't lie.
Did I? You're making me sound like Dolly Parton. But anyway.
She's on tour here soon.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Dolly.
She's coming to UK.
So as we're riding home, we just sort of like down a side street, Scott's pointing this out, and he's like, "Oh, there's a club down there, and it's the bar where Placebo
had
their first gig.
That's right. Yeah, no.
And he starts telling me this story about being at Heaven.
Yeah, right. So basically, we were going through McMillan's. Oh, we were going through Deptford, and there was a bar there called McMillan's. I don't know if it's still there or not. And I know that a friend of mine, he was in a band. I think they were called Topless Drummer Girl or something. And they were a little industrial band. It's a great name, isn't it, for a band? Topless Drummer Girl. And one of their opening acts was Placebo at this little bar. And I said to Jeb, I went, oh, God, I saw him once in a club. Brian Maloko.
I'm just laughing, thinking of it, just remembering the story.
And so I was sitting there going, yeah, I saw him in Heaven once. So it was just, you know, hanging out in Heaven with some friends.
Oh, but for those of you that don't know, Heaven's a big gay disco here in town.
Biggest in Europe, you know. Yeah, Heaven in London. And we're hanging out, and like they had an indie night on Mondays, and we were all hanging, me and some friends and shit, and we saw him, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna completely pretend that, you know, you're not even there, because I'm not gonna acknowledge you. I'm like, I know who you are. I'm not gonna go, oh my God, it's Brian Maloko.
Is he shorter in real life?
He makes Jeb look like Jolly Green
Giant.
He's a dwarf.
Everybody thought
Mutant
that
dwarf.
I was taller.
Yeah, right.
Oh, and nobody has been able, like. It's like, okay, they could probably identify New York on a map and Los Angeles on a map, and everything else in the middle is just Bible land or whatever.
Right,
it's
true.
Kind of funny because people have like introduced me as being from Tennessee.
I said Louisiana earlier.
Scott, yeah, introduced me to everybody in his office as being from Louisiana, and I'm like, no, it's Louisville. There's a big difference.
Whatever.
But anyway, that's beside.
And you're
whatever.
From there.
I'm from the north. I don't hang out with rednecks and hillbillies.
Yeah, you're from Ohio. Yeah, they're right. Who we have to blame for the political mess we're in. But anyway.
meow.
So finish your story.
So, you know, we're hanging out in Heaven and shit, and Survivor by Destiny Child comes on. So I start doing all the dance, like, in the video and shit. I've got my arm, and I'm, like, up with my foot. I'm a survivor. I'm not going to stop. I go, where are
I'm a muff diver.
I'm a muff diver. Yeah. Brian's, you know, obviously looking up at me. You know, he's looking up from, who is this very tall man in front of me doing this? And I looked down on him. I'm like, what? What?
So
What are you doing?
On that note, we're going to close out the show with... who is this Placebo?
This is Placebo.
What song is it?
And this is a very, very good track.
The very appropriate.
It's not Nancy Boy.
It's from the album Without You, I'm Nothing. And without you, Brian, I am nothing. Thank you for walking away from me in that club that night.
But of course,
thinking I was a complete asshole. As I was.
Of course, breasts are best, apparently.
Breasts are best. Yeah, breasts are best. When breasts, how'd that lyric go again?
Oh, it's, I can't remember. The two are better, or something.
Yeah. A friend in need's a friend indeed. A friend with free drugs is better. But this is off that album. This is off the album Without You, I'm Nothing, and this is Scared of Girls. Thank you very much, Jeb and Tim. Thank you very much for being on your show.
I'm so glad that you guys were able to do this with me. Thanks a lot for listening. And as I said, the next couple of shows are going to be sort of a recap of the set that I played at Hectic Eclectic. So we will leave you with Placebo.
Yeah.
inside out.